take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. verse 14. Titled tonight's teaching, Ready for Anything. Ready for Anything. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. So our commandment is to continue in what we have learned. And that continuing is a maintaining. It's a practicing. So we continue at something is to keep up with it, to maintain it. Continue thou in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have heard, learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are there to make us wise. They help us to learn and to know what to do. Verse 16, all scripture. The scriptures that we've known since a child, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We know that given by inspiration of God is God-breathed. God is the author of this word. He's the one who gave men and women the words to write down in the physical realm. And it's profitable. Word of God is profitable. It's not imprisoning. It's not detrimental. The Word of God is profitable. Right? A lot of people find who don't understand the truth and the heart of the Word of God and the fact that God loves them find the Bible and the Scriptures imprisoning. They find it difficult. They don't know what to make of it. It leads to a guilt trip. It leads to feeling like they're not accomplishing what they should be in life. And that's not what God wants His Word to be. He wants His Word to be profitable. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Right? So doctrine is the teaching of the right way of believing. So the Word of God is profitable to show us the right way to do things, the right way to believe, the right way to live life, the right way to think and talk and speak and help and serve. That's what doctrine is. It's the teaching of the right way. Reproof is for the discovering of when you're in the wrong way, when you veered off that path that the doctrine has taught you. Reproof is for discovering that that's going on, for learning that, hey, I'm not doing this the way that the Word of God wants me to do it. And then for correction, which is how to get back to the right way again. So reproof is the discovery, the realization that you're not walking the way you should be, according to doctrine. And then correction is to get you back there. Because God doesn't just tell you when you're falling short, but He tells you how to get back right again, right? He doesn't just tell you you're wrong. He gives you the tools you need to get back. And all of that is for instruction in righteousness. All of that combines, it's all summed up in the idea of instruction in righteousness. And here's the reason. Verse 17, that, because. Why are we doing this? This is why we're doing it. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the reason. That we as men and women of God are fully equipped, thoroughly furnished, fully equipped. Some translations have it as that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly perfected, that we have everything that we need. We're fully equipped. And what are we equipped to do? What what does it say we're equipped to do? We're
good works.
That's right. Unto all good works. So God gives us the tools that we need to do the will of God, His good works that He's called us to do. That's the reason for it. So God gave us His word, His scriptures, so that we could be ready for anything. So that we can be ready to do what the word of God has called us to do. God breathed out His word. He breathed us out His word, and He gave to us the tool, the only tool we need to fully equip us for the way that He desires us to live. Right? The way that He desires us to live. And why does God desire this for us? Why does God desire us to do His word and to do the things that are in it? Is it so that we can be slaves to God and work the way that He wants us to work? No. If that's what God wanted, He would have just made us without free will, right? To do what He wants us to do. That would have been easier than letting us make our own decisions. It would have been a lot easier. God desires for us to walk that way so that we can condemn ourselves every day, right? So we can be like, oh, I can't do it. I'm falling short every time I try to do something. That's why God wants us to walk that way, right? He realizes this is an impossible task that we'll never be able to accomplish, so He can laugh at us when we fail.
No.
God desires that we walk according to His word so that we live a life where we're most happy and we're most blessed, right? God formed, made, and created us. He literally invented human beings. He knows how we work. He designed us. Like, if I build something, I know how it works, and I can make it work really, really well. Well, God designed us, and He gave us the tools so that we could live a life that works really, really well. So that we could be the most happy and the most blessed. That's why God wants us to walk this way. Because when we do walk that way, we really will be the most blessed. Go to 2 Chronicles 16. Verse 9. Remember, God invented us. He designed us. He formed, made, and created us. He knows how we work. And it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Our God looks around constantly for ways to show Himself strong on our behalf. Our God literally looks all over the planet looking for ways to bless His people. But it says here that He shows Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. And it said back in 2 Timothy that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected, truly furnished, fully equipped. So when we walk that way, God's sitting here looking for ways to bless those people, to show Himself strong to those people. He's like literally just hoping and waiting for people to do His word so that He can bless them. That's God's attitude. He doesn't want to beat you up. He didn't put His word here to bind you up and to make you feel terrible. He really wants you to do it so He can bless you. So He can bless you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. He has given us what we need to walk in such a way that He's able to blow our socks off. 1 Peter 5:8. He's given us what we need to walk in such a way that He's able to blow our socks off. And it's up to us to utilize it. It's up to us to decide that that's what we want to do, because he did give us free will. It's the greatest thing that God could have given us. And it's also the most difficult thing to manage. Right? We get to make our own decisions. It's way better than a life without free will. But it means that we have to make decisions. It means that we have to renew our minds. It's not just built in. We're not pre-programmed. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So it turns out that God's not the only one looking around, taking a look at the world and seeing what he can do. The devil is too, and his reason for doing so is the exact opposite of God. God's looking to bless. He's looking for anybody who's doing his word so he can show himself strong. The adversary's looking for anybody who isn't sober and vigilant so he can devour them. Right? And he devours us in different ways. He's got little subtle tricks for each. He tailors his little individual devouring to each of us. You know, the unsaved person, he tries to make sure that they stay blinded, that they never hear the truth of God's word. They never get born again. And to us, he has no legal rights over us any longer. But then he tries to make sure that we don't walk the way that God wants us to. Because if we don't, he knows that God can't bless us. That God can't do what God wants to do for us. God's looking around, looking for ways to take care of us, and the adversary would rather us walk in such a way that we're not taking advantage of that. And so the verse tells us to be alert, to be prepared, to pay attention. That's what it is to be sober, to be vigilant, to be alert, to pay attention. As the kids say, to stay woke. Stay woke. You know, be alert, pay attention, because that's what the adversary's up to. And he tells us this a couple times in Peter. Go to 1:13, chapter 1, verse 13, page back two pages. 1:13 says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, be alert, gird up the loins of your mind, get your mind in gear, get your mind on the word, be alert." And then again in chapter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Be alert. Be prepared. Pay attention. And he tells us back in 5:7 or 5:8 that the reason for that is because the adversary is looking to take advantage of us. Right? So we need to be ready for anything. We need to be ready for anything. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And God's given us the tools to do that. Ephesians 6, verse 10. The adversary knows what gets to you. He's really good at it. He's not a dummy. He knows what bothers you. God knows you really, really well and wants to take care of you. The adversary knows you really, really well and wants to exploit that. Okay? And so we have to know and be aware of what really, really gets to us. What are those things that kind of get us out of fellowship, get our brains in a knot? Make us worried, make us fearful, make us upset. Because those are the things that the adversary is going to try to mess with you about. He's not going to hit you where you're strong, right? That's dumb. He's going to mess with you where he can. And so God wants us to be sober, to be vigilant, to be aware of those things. because he's given us everything we need to be prepared. And some of those things we have to work on, right? It's always a work. We're not, that the man of God may be perfect doesn't mean we become perfect, right? We have to renew our minds. We're not going to be perfect. Only Jesus Christ was perfect. So there's always work involved. But we just got to put in the work. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So it's God who makes us strong, right? And we have to remember that. That it's God who makes us strong. We can know and we can identify the areas where we need help. And then let's ask God to help us. We can be strong in the power of His might, not our own. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of who?
The devil.
So God's given us something. He's given us a way to stand against the wiles of the devil. God always gives us exactly what we need, right? He doesn't put us in a situation where we don't have what we need. God gives us the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The adversary is the real enemy of the believer. But God has given us what we need to be ready for anything. The real enemy of the believer is the adversary. He works in people. He works in situations. But it's always the adversary who's up to something, right? It's a spiritual battle. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against. That's where the battle is. Right? The adversary works in those people, in world leaders, in foreign countries, in other places, so that bad stuff happens, right? And God is working in people and situations to fight all of that stuff off. We do that through prayer and other things. We're going to look at it. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So twice now he tells us to take the whole armor of God, all of it, that we can withstand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going to go into super detail about all these, but we'll go over them a little bit, that we can have our loins girt about with truth, right? The Word of God, the truth that we know. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, that we recognize our standing before God, how He views us, that He sees us as His kids and He loves us. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we're ready and willing to speak the word and hold it forth as messengers. Above all, taking the shield of faith, of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So God gives us believing as a shield to block all the other stuff that's coming at us from the adversary. If we believe on His word, none of that stuff gets through. And take the helmet of salvation, that hope that we have of Christ's return, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. These are the things that God's given us. These are the tools that we have to be steadfast and strong in this life. These are the things that He's equipped us with so that we can fight back. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. So we can be ready for anything, because God's given us the tools we need. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Rhetorical question, nobody. God's on our side, nobody can be against you. No one will prevail against you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He already gave his only begotten son. What else is he going to hold back? He's not going to hold anything back. With his only begotten son, he will give us freely of all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What of all of that is going to separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to be so big that it separates us from the love that Christ has for us? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. We are more than conquerors. We can live a life with an attitude that we're killed all the day long. That's available. We can live a life where we think we are just sheep being led to the slaughter. It's so hard to walk for you, God. I'm always being trampled on and mistreated. You can walk that way. You can think that way. That's available. Or you can renew your mind to what verse 37 says. No, it says, don't think that way. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. In all the things that may come our way. Our first thought should always be, I can conquer this with God. Our first thought to any situation should be that we are more than conquerors. With God, I can tackle this. If God is for me, what's going to beat me? That's the way we should think. Because that's what's true. And it's up to us to claim it as true. Only you can stop you now. You're born again. That's literally true. God's not going to stop you. The adversary can't touch you. The only person who can stop you is you. And you stop yourself by failing to claim these things and believe them. To talk yourself out of them. And that's how the adversary attacks you. To get you to talk yourself out of it. But that's our decision, not his. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was persuaded, believed it with all his heart, that none of those things were going to separate us from the love of God. And that should be our attitude. Nothing's going to separate me from God's love. And when God's loving me, I know he's looking for ways to bless me. I know he's looking all over the planet to bless me when I'm doing his word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. That should be our attitude. And that's an attitude that's ready for anything. That's an attitude that will prepare you to face whatever it is. Wherever those areas that you feel are shortcomings in your life, they'll help you strengthen those areas. Because that area isn't going to separate you from the love of God unless you let it. Well, it's not going to separate you from the love of God no matter what. It's still going to love you. But you can allow it to get you out of fellowship. Or you could say, I'm more than a conqueror here. Screw that. I'm better than that. And that's what God wants our attitude to be. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When the corruptible shall put on incorruption, those who are dead in Christ, they put on incorruption, they're no longer corrupted. And the mortal, those who are still alive and remain, they put on immortality. This is at the return. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory over death itself. Not even that is going to stop you from getting where you're going. You might die before Christ comes back, but then you get up again. Raised incorruptible. So not even death can stop you. You've already got the victory. Therefore, verse 58. If we've already got the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, like a tree. A tree! Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, we should always abound into the good works God's called us to do. Why? Because he's given us the victory. We can remain steadfast, unmovable, always working the work that God called us to work. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's what God promises. That effort that we put in is not in vain. He's going to bless us and we're going to bless other people. And that's fruit. That's not a labor that's wasted. It's not a labor that's in vain. And he's equipped us to be ready for anything. Right? All right.